Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our YouTube channel. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you guys leave a like down below and follow for more mediocre content. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the actual studio and from your mom's diary is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I'm in the studio?
You're in the studio.
Oh my God. I forgot what this place looked like.
We can tell by the quality of webcam versus, you know.
Oh yeah, versus your nice camera shot. It's all edited and makes it look yourself look so much better than you really do.
No, not enough editing in the world for that, my friend. But yes, we are back and we are excited because we are going to be discussing something a little bit different. We're going to do something a little bit more topical where we're actually going to be going over some of the most famous movie and Hollywood urban legends.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes, Sean. Ooh.
Well, you were just in Hollywood.
I was just in Hollywood, and it is...
You didn't get your break, though. You're still here.
I'm still here. Yes, I did not get my big break. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Tell your friends. We need our big break. But yes, it's an interesting topic because Hollywood is filled with all sorts of different movies and urban legends and all these different things. So we're going to tackle some. Some are going to be about celebrities. Some are going to be about actual movies. Some are going to be about the shooting of movies. It's going to be an interesting ride. So we're going to kick it off. Sean is going to kick us off first with one of the most famous movie.
One of the most. I feel like this one is one that like everybody knows. It's kind of become one because we grew up in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. VHS was very grainy. We really didn't get this high definition until about, you know, what, 15 years ago?
Something like that.
And so the first one on our list is the urban legend of the Wizard of Oz and the apparent Munchkin suicide.
I still say that that was real.
I don't. It's clear as day now that we have, you know, these 4K HD restored films that it's clearly a bird, like a crane or something that was on the set, which is funny when you think about it, because where in the hell in that movie did you ever see a bird except for like the crow scene when she first sees
there were a couple when they first walk into the forest. But yeah, so famous shot in The Wizard of Oz is as they're leaving the haunted forest and, you know, they're off to see the wizard. There's a shot in the background, and when we first had VHS, yeah, it literally looked like something was swinging back and forth, yeah. And the urban legend was that it was a munchkin that had too much.
Yeah, it was believed that a lovelorn munchkin hanged himself while the cameras were rolling during production, unbeknownst to the director, various stagehands, and the actors on screen, which is absolute ridiculousness, because they're literally walking
right towards it.
So, you know, the truth is... moving in the background is a large exotic bird on loan from the Los Angeles Zoo. The urban legend started when The Wizard of Oz was released on VHS back in 1989 and persisted over the decades until Blu-ray, you know, really kind of showed off that it was not true.
Such a shame. All right, so
it's a shame that someone didn't die.
We're starting off with Munchkin suicide. All right, so that is the start of our episode. Wow. All right, it can only go up from here.
Are you sure?
No, because the next one that I'm going to be doing is actually about an actor and in Hollywood, and it is the famous legend of James Dean's curse. For those of you guys who don't know, James Dean was a very famous and well-known movie actor. He only did like three films.
He only did three films. He was the Brando before Brando. Or no, they were around the same time, but they were of the same ilk. He's method.
He's the Brando that lasted.
Wow.
But too soon?
Just, wow.
Wow.
But yeah, so James Dean, three movies, three classics. He was an Academy Award nominated actor, and tragically, he was killed in a
motor vehicle crash. In his car, known as Little Bastard. And throughout the years, Little Bastard has been claimed to be cursed, subsequent crashes, et cetera, et cetera. They did an episode of Supernatural where they referenced
it. I was about to say, didn't they do an episode of Supernatural about this?
Yeah, and it turned out to not be the actual Little Bastard. Yeah. But yes, they did an episode of Supernatural. It's the one with Paris Hilton.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, man, it was so hot.
Really?
Paris Hilton.
Like, what season was that?
Three or four?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was right after. They even reference House of Wax.
I was about to. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Which one was in House of Wax? Jared?
Jared Padalecki. Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's another one. All right. Hit me, Sean. You got another one? Go.
We got the movie Three Men and a Baby, and there's a ghost.
Did you know there's a ghost? Who'd you hear that from?
The urban legend is after Three Men and a Baby was released on VHS in 1990, a legend emerged about an hour into the movie. The character Ted Danson is walking through his house with a newly found baby girl. In the background, you can see a mysterious figure behind the curtains of one of the windows. It's believed it was a ghost of a boy who used to live in the house where they were filming the movie. The truth is, the mysterious figure behind the curtain is a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson wearing a top hat. How do you think a cardboard cutout of a grown man is a ghost of a boy?
Have you seen the clip?
No.
Well, that's why, Sean. So, yes. So, if you're watching it on YouTube, the clip will be here or has already played. Yeah. But, yeah, I can understand why people, especially with VHS, definitely could have seen.
I feel like half of these are going to be because of VHS.
This one, though, like even like on DVD, it's still because the way that it is, A, the cardboard cutout is not life size. Mm-hmm. So it's smaller. And also, B, it's behind not the full like blackout curtains, but like the secondary curtains, you know, like the ones you could see through. So it's kind of shrouded. And yes, I've seen this and I remember watching it and going, I can see why people would actually think that that was something that it wasn't. But
I'm cool.
Stop. How dare you bring Are You Afraid of the Dark into this house? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do to me right now? Shut up, Sean. But anyway. So, all right. I got one. This is one of the most famous ones. It is still persisting. It is still around. And it is still one of the funniest running jokes of all time. And that is Walt Disney was cryogenically frozen. So rumors have been abounding about Walt Disney. And just throughout the years, I like the one where the park's actually haunted and his ghost walks around every once in a while.
They used to think that he was buried in the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland.
You know, they still like have issues with people spreading ashes.
Yeah.
And they have codes for it. So if you guys are ever at Disney World, they try and create this atmosphere of just perfection. So they'll never go over the radio and be like, oh, somebody threw up on the Haunted Mansion. Stuff like that's serious. They'll have codes.
Oh, no, that I understand.
So yeah, they go out of their way. Like you read about Disney and some of the stuff that they do to make the experience so believable and real. It's wild. Each theme park has a different smell that they release out into the air. Like all these weird things.
I got the candles at home. You got candles. Literally, there's a company that makes candles, sent it to all the different, you know, so hotels and rides.
After
and stuff
this,
like
we'll
that.
Do our Disney seance. We got to have each
Walt?
Candle. Walt, are the Jews back?
Put me back.
Yeah, that was Family Guy. But yes, there's been a long-standing rumor that he was actually cryogenically frozen and that they'll wake him up at some point. I think they also said that about Hitler, too. Like, he was cryogenically frozen. But stupid. I love it. You got one?
I got one. This one's more of a funny one because we both really appreciate this one. And that is the Back to the Future Part 2, the hoverboards.
Oh, yeah.
So if for anyone out there who is fans of watching, you know, the making of movies and stuff like that, there is a scene of Robert Zemeckis back in 1989 saying that the hoverboards were actually made by Mattel. They will be on the market, you know, later this year or something like that. And somehow, making of stuff wasn't a big thing back in the 80s and 90s. So I don't know where kids were seeing this, but apparently they were, because Mattel got flooded with phone calls from kids and they were pissed.
You guys said it.
I'm from Mattel. Well, I'm actually not from Mattel. I'm from a small company that was purchased in a buyout.
A nice little Toy Story reference. I like it. I like it. But yes, the hoverboards were a running thing. And there are also rumors that the hoverboards were actually real the whole time. And that they,
and
you know,
don't give me this bullshit about hoverboards nowadays, because those are not
hoverboards. Those aren't hoverboards. I hate they just use the name for the marketing. They're not hoverboards. Let's all just agree that those aren't hoverboards. They're rolling. They're wheelie. They're Heelys with batteries. That's all they are.
Sure.
Yeah.
Remember, and they blow up.
And they blow up. All right. Much like the Samsung phones. Remember that? Yeah, that was a fun one. All right. Let's see. Moving down the list. All right. Let's see. I have on mine, we have The Haunting of the Hollywood Sign. Legends.
I've heard this one.
Legends persist that, yes, the Hollywood sign is haunted by the ghost of a failed actress. So there are times where you'll see her walking throughout the area. You can smell her perfume. I've never been to the Hollywood sign. We did go to, like Sean said, my wife and I went to Hollywood not too long ago, but we didn't actually make it to the sign because the weather was just so bad.
Like the funny thing about the sign is, to me, there's nothing to do with the sign. It's literally, you can see the sign from like vantage points in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But like to go to the sign, there's nothing to do there.
It's a good hike. If you like hiking.
It's more of a hike. Okay.
More of a hike, yeah. But yes, so I like a good ghost story and I like a good Hollywood ghost story.
It's the Ghost of the Black Dahlia.
That is one of the actual rumors. Yes.
Wasn't she a failed? Wasn't she like an up and coming actress?
They'll never know.
No.
Just like how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, no one will ever know. You ever count that? You ever try?
No.
I made it to like 392.
No, you didn't.
I did. You did? I did once. Yeah,
how
I actually counted.
How old were you? Like,
I don't want to say
2 days ago.
I don't want to say how old I was because I feel like there would be judgment, but I was old enough to count that. I was old enough to count that high. Let's just.
That's very good. 392 is hard. Hard number to get to.
You're a hard number to get to. Anyway, all right. So that was one of mine. You got one?
Yes, sir. Stanley Kubrick, the director of The Shining, directed The Moon Landing.
See, I love the moon landing conspiracy because one of my coworkers and I, we actively debate this one, like all in good fun. Sean, do you believe that the moon landing actually happened?
Yes.
Why?
Because, I mean, you have all the astronauts who say they've been up there.
I mean, you have politicians that also say they're going to do right by everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Da-da-da-da-da.
But it's astronauts. I trust them more.
I trust that guy named Buzz. Come on.
Come on, man. Tom Hanks played Jim Lovell. I mean, you gotta trust him.
So there's a great show that I really do enjoy called Adam Ruins Everything, where basically it's this guy, Adam Conover, and he disproves commonly believed ideas. Like he did one about like school, he did one about like marriage, like he did a bunch of them, and one of them involved the moon landing. And he went into detail about the technology used that would be used to fake the moon landing was more advanced than the technology that was actually used for the moon landing. Like the technology that they would have needed to actually hoax the moon landing was supposedly well past the technology that they had at the time. I do believe that we did land on the moon. I believe that it was for reasons other than just trying to beat the Soviets. Well, I liked the second Transformers. They went to the moon just to get to the Transformers base.
Well, I love the Men in Black 3 where the moon landing part had nothing to do with it. It was just they attached the
person,
the arc net, so it would like shield the Earth from attacks.
Well, no, that, yeah, from the moon.
But they used the moon.
Yep.
They used the mission of the moon as a cover for it.
So there's a lot of rumors that Stanley Kubrick put like hints in The Shining, like the kids wearing the rocket shirt.
There's a rocket shirt. I think the number, one of the room number might have something to do with it as well. There's actually a really interesting documentary. It's called Room 237. And it's like all these people coming up with their debunked theories of The Shining, like what Stanley Kubrick actually was trying to mean while making this movie. It is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen because they're so ridiculous, but it's actually a fun watch because one of them is about the moon landing.
I like it though. All right, going from me. All right, here's one of my favorites. And given what's in the background of my computer screen, it's rather fitting. And also it was the birthday of this gentleman, the curse of the Superman films. Mm. So there is a longstanding rumor that Superman films have, if you take on the title role of Superman, there's a curse attached to it. Most famously with Christopher Reeve, obviously George Reeves as well. But I said it most famously with Christopher Reeve.
You're right.
Who obviously fell off a horse and was paralyzed. But George Reeves also, who
that's it.
Committed suicide.
I mean, it's not funny. But when you think about it, because Lois and Clark, the show, started in 93. So that was the first Superman that was not Christopher Reeve in our lifetime.
Yes.
Was Dean Cain. So like at the time, like it was like, oh, if you play Superman, something's going to bat. But how many people have played Superman since? I mean, we've had Dean Cain. You've had the guy who played Superboy. You've had
Tom Welling,
you've had Brandon Routh, you've had Henry Cavill, now you have this guy, new guy, and then the guy on the show.
Tyler Hoechlin. Yeah.
And
Tyler Hoechlin's right next to your head.
And not...
Right. Other way.
Okay, well, you said head. It's like,
there he is.
You know, knock on wood, they're all...
They're all okay. They're doing all right.
But when you see that the first two people to ever play Superman on screen, most famously in a TV show and in a movie, and they both suffer, you know, one suffers obviously death, the other suffers a tragic accident. You know, it's crazy when you think about it. Mm-hmm. It really is. But, you know, I think we've passed that since then, but that was a big one for the longest time.
Yeah.
Cause even Bryan Singer went to Brandon Routh and was like, hey,
are you okay? Are you doing all right?
You're okay with the curse? And he goes, well, I could not get the role when something bad happens to me. So it's like,
not gonna lie though, like something bad happened to his career.
I mean, he's kind of made a comeback.
Yeah, a little bit. But Legends of Tomorrow was a big help for him, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. You got one?
Yes, I do. Hold on one sec. I had it. My iPad is not doing the best right now.
You want me to do one?
Oh, no, I got it. All right. So I didn't know about this one, but so the movie Goldfinger, the whole death by gold body paint.
Yes.
So apparently, the movie makes it believe that if you are fully covered in paint, that you will die of asphyxiation. And a lot of people believe that the actress Shirley Eaton, who in the movie is covered in gold paint, she actually died, but she did not. And apparently, if that ever does happen, you would suffer from overheating rather than asphyxiation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it's still one of the most iconic images and scenes in movie history.
I'm just glad she didn't have an unfortunate smelting accident.
I love gold.
Yep, there you go. I knew I would tee up for that one. But there's also, like, this one's real. The guy who played the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz, going back to Wizard of Oz, he had a terrible allergic reaction to the paint.
Not the guy who played him in the movie.
Oh, the guy, first guy.
The first guy. Buddy Epstein.
Yeah, had a terrible allergic.
Original Jed Clampin on the Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah, he was... It was.
He almost died.
It was lead... It was not the same material they used for the second guy. It was a different material, and he almost died. Like it took him like a solid year or two to recover.
That's wild.
And never got anything out of it. Like,
nope.
Never got an apology. He didn't sue anybody.
Back then they were putting lead in all the paint.
But back then, like, that's, again, this is just how different Hollywood was back then. The actors were just minuscule on, you know, and everything. They didn't, you know.
They didn't take the mental health of their actors and physical well-being of their actors into consideration in the 1930s?
Oh.
Weird. How's Dorothy Hamill doing? Not Dorothy Hamill. Who played Dorothy? What's her name?
Judy Garland.
I don't know. A lot of words got jumbled. Judy Garland. I mean, you hear stories about her afterwards. Yeah, oh, she, man.
But, yeah.
They put a corset on her so she would look younger.
Well,
like
it was because
she wasn't allowed to eat.
I think in Wizard of Oz, she's supposed to be like
12,
13, 14 years old, and she was 21, 18, 19.
Maybe. Weird. All right, ready? Let's see. I have The Curse of the Omen.
See, I didn't know about the Omen one. I know about the Exorcist curse, but the Omen one.
I got the Exorcist on here too, but apparently there were some weird things that happened during the Omen. Have you seen all of the Omen ones?
I have not seen all the Omens. No.
I like
the original.
I like all of the Omen films. I haven't seen the new one.
Oh, with Liev Schreiber and... Oh, no.
No. That's the remake. Okay. I saw the remake, but there's a new one that came out, like the first Omen.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was tied into the, like...
It's a prequel.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And apparently it is fantastic.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, apparently one of the biggest things about the Omen was the plane incident. All right, so it was a curse related to the film's aerial advisor, pilot Gilbert Taylor. Taylor was scheduled to work on the film and had arranged to be on one of the two flights that crashed at the same day that he was meant to begin work. Yeah, the first crash took the life of a pilot who was also hired as an expert. So, interesting stuff. Like, not interesting. Some of these we got to be careful about how we feel about them.
I know what you mean,
yeah.
But it's finding the right word.
Do you want to talk about the Exorcist one since we're right here?
Yeah, so the Exorcist one was more of just a lot of things happened to the actors involved in the movie. You know, obviously we've seen what Linda Blair has gone through in her life and how that movie affected her. There was, I believe, the actor who plays the cop, Lee J. Cobb, died, I want to say, not even like 2 years later. Nothing like, I mean, I think it was a heart attack. I mean, I'm not going to say that's not tragic, but like it wasn't a freak thing. There was an actor also in that movie, Jack McGowan. He died like mysteriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was all like jumbled together. It was all like it happened.
The very coincidental.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. So I knew there was something with that because
mm-hmm.
that movie is the making of that movie. Just amazing.
Ooh, wild.
I would love to see a movie about the making of The Exorcist, like an actual cinematic movie about the making of The Exorcist. Because
oh, yeah.
What they did on that movie is sort of incredible.
They brought in an actual priest to bless the set because
yeah.
They were having wild things happening. Like there was problems with like the air conditioning units or the refrigerator
they
units.
They had to keep the room at like freezing temperatures for the scene where, you know, you see the breath and all that stuff. I mean, just the practical effects in that movie alone are terrifying. And, you know, the casting is a story in its own. I mean, there's the girl who plays Violet Beauregard in Willy Wonka was up for the character for The Exorcist.
Interesting.
And she sadly passed away a few years ago, but she said in interviews, like her mother was just like, Yeah, no, you're not doing this.
All right, so ready for The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are some of the things. Let's see. We had, it's rumored that real exorcism rituals were performed during filming to ensure authenticity and to ward off evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They did consult religious experts, but no actual exorcism rituals were performed. Let's see. Linda Blair, who played Regan, the possessed girl, was said to have been injured during filming due to the intense physical scenes.
Well, the scene where she's being, like, forced up and down. I mean, that's her.
Yeah, so
that's not a double.
She never got any actual sustainable injuries, but she did have to undergo makeup and special effects that were uncomfortable for her.
I thought I heard she suffered like back problems
probably
for years,
but
and stuff
nothing
like that.
Nothing's been reported. There are claims that some viewers experience paranormal phenomenon or strange occurrences after watching the film, such as fainting and feeling unwell. There were people that fainted in theaters. That was a real thing.
So not off topic, but I'm just curious, which movie would you rather have seen for the first time when it originally came out and seen the experience of seeing in theaters, Jaws or The Exorcist?
Jaws.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Both absolutely terrified audiences, but I feel like Exorcist just would have been, if you, okay, caveat, you know what's coming, but you just want to see,
like, on a screen for the, like, a big screen.
You see it on the big screen back in the year it was made, but you know,
oh,
what's
like,
coming.
So you more want to see the audience
you just
reaction?
Want to see the audience reaction.
Oh, if it's audience reaction, then The Exorcist.
Okay.
Yeah, but Jaws, if I was, like, going to see a movie for the first time ever on a big screen, Jaws would be the one. So, yeah, guys, comment down below. Let us know what you think. Either seeing the audience reaction to The Exorcist or Jaws or any other movie. Just throw it in there.
I bet you we'll see a couple people like, I was at both.
Yeah, all right. But let's keep it with the horror stuff. We also have, I know I just did one, but I'm going to do another one because I'm ready. Poltergeist. Mm. Poltergeist, famously, a lot of production issues. The rumor is that they used actual human skeletons as props, and that cursed the entire film.
In the pool.
Yeah.
That pool scene.
So the skeletons were used. This is considered coincidental, but multiple cast members did die at exceptionally young ages. And also, you know,
sadly, Dominique Dawn, who plays the older sister, she was murdered by her boyfriend not even a year after the movie came out. Mm-hmm. The little girl, Heather O'Rourke, died of just like freak. Like
some sort of like freak random illness or
illness
something like that.
And stuff. Who else? I have it on my list, and they talk about how the urban legend is that Toby Hooper didn't direct it, Steven Spielberg actually directed it, which has been, because Spielberg produced it. Yeah. It was done at the same time as E.T. Because when you think about it, they're both literally, it wouldn't shock me if they're both set in the same, you know,
the same universe.
Same universe, because they're both in like those, you know, build up little communities and stuff like that.
I would actually love to see, I mean, they could probably do it as more of an animated film, like a Spielberg film movie where it's like all of his films did take place in one universe. Mm. And it's like, cause I think animated would probably be able to do it just better.
That would be interesting.
And each town is actually a government experiment. Hollywood, call me. let's get this going. Steven, let's go.
He's quietly making another Alien movie, they're saying. That's like his next project.
He like doing Alien the franchise?
No,
or
just
like
a movie about aliens.
What was the one? Did he, Super 8? Was that him?
I think he produced it.
Yeah, he was involved with
but
it.
But that was J.J. Abrams, I think.
Oh, I know him. Was there a lot of lens flares?
Maybe.
Probably. You got another one on your list?
I got one more.
All right.
And that is that the Blair Witch Project was a real documentary.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so that's a very famous one because the Blair Witch Project was the first film to really make the found footage genre popular, right? So people thought it was actually real. And in all honesty, I could see why at the time. People also fainted in that. People got sick.
That was an experience.
I would see that in theaters for the first time.
I would too. Yeah. If they released that to theaters, I would go see that for the experience. I mean, we were 12 years old when that movie came out.
I never saw it in theaters. I was too scared.
Oh, no. I couldn't. No one would go with me to see that movie.
So I was too scared. Sorry.
I don't think we knew each other yet.
Not yet. We were close. It was almost that time.
It was almost.
Almost. We almost made it. Who would have thought? Not me. But anyway. So, yes, I do. But I wanted to talk about Blair Witch really quick.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sorry.
So Blair Witch also, like I said, started the really big found footage. Sean and I are kind of mixed about found footage. Sometimes it really works. Other times it really sucks. It went through a big wave of popularity after Paranormal Activity.
Well, Paranormal Activity was the one. And I enjoyed the first Paranormal Activity because it harkened back to the 50s, you know, House on Haunted Hill.
So you ready?
Yeah.
This isn't on my list, but this is from the noggin. I do believe it was Steven Spielberg who got an advanced copy of Paranormal Activity. And he had like some freaky thing happened while he was watching it.
Oh,
and
really?
Like he like told the director, he's like, this happened and this is real and this is scary, so yeah, you got something going. But yeah, the first Paranormal Activity is a fine watch.
That's a fun movie.
So I saw the first two in theaters. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first one, the tension.
Yeah,
because we didn't know what to expect with that movie. We had no clue. Made for like $7 million, it made million. I hope
it was
those...
like it was like PG-13, wasn't it? So like it was all screaming kids in it. It was like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, it was a lot. But like, I hope those actors were like, hey, can we get a percentage of the gross? Yeah, just 5%. That's all we need. Just 1%. But yeah, like that's a movie that the tension. Oh god, scared the crap out of me. I still can't watch those movies. I hate those movies. All right, let's see. We have the cursed cell phone number of 555-0134. The phone number often used in movies is said to be cursed if dialed. Now, so
you want to try it?
No, get off the phone. What are you doing? I swear to god, if I hear somebody say 7 days over the line, I'm gonna leave you here. Good luck.
This is your house.
I didn't call. Just get a knock on the door. Candygram? No. Candygram from Mongo. So, for those of you guys who don't know, the phone numbers used in all these shows and movies, for the most part, start with 555. And have you ever called a 555 number?
I don't think so.
So, when I was younger, I had the Ghostbusters, the Ecto-1 from the second movie. And
555 spanked me.
I know that number. But on the Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters 2, the toy, it had the number on there, the 555, whatever.
Yeah.
So my dad and I called it, and you actually get an automated message that says, this is a line, this is a phone number specifically used for movies. It doesn't lead to anywhere. Sometimes you'll watch a movie and or TV show, and they'll have like an actual phone number that you can call, and they'll do something like Supernatural, going back to it, had Dean Winchester's number. And if you called it, there was a voicemail message from Dean. So cool stuff. All right, let's see. I think I have one or two. Are you all done?
Pretty much. None of the others that are on this list aren't really that great.
All right. The murder of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Famous conspiracy theory still persists to this day. Unfortunately, the Kennedys have quite a few number of conspiracy theories. I think we did an episode on conspiracy theories and we talked about JFK.
I think we did.
We definitely did an episode of JFK for cinematic.
Of the movie JFK, yes.
But so the longstanding myth, same vein as George Reeves, was that they were actually murdered. So both George Reeves and Marilyn Monroe, the official story is that they tragically took their own lives. Marilyn Monroe with pills and George Reeves with a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rumors are that they were actually murdered.
Yeah.
Murdered.
The Kennedys, because she was going to do something about the Kennedys. I don't remember.
She was involved with them. We all know that.
With JFK. The rumor is she was involved with RFK as well, but that one's not as
well known.
It's not as well known. It's not as obvious as the JFK one.
Did you hear
just her? Watch the clip of her singing happy birthday to him in Madison Square Garden?
God. Sultry. I've never been sang to a happy birthday like that. Woof.
Nah.
But there, did you know that there's a video of her performing fellatio?
No, I did not.
So this is actually true. The CIA had it for years. Oh. Years and years, because they were trying to prove that it was one of the Kennedys in the tape, but they can't do it.
Oh, so FBI probably had it too. J. Edgar Hoover hated the Kennedys.
Oh, yeah. J. Edgar Hoover also used to wear dresses.
It's very true.
One of my favorite lines from Corky Romano ever. So, did you ever...
Did you ever see
Corky Romano?
I have not. So there's, and I'm not upset about it.
There's this great scene where the bad guys, like Corky Romano goes, I'm so surprised. Just, you know, like, how did I not know it was you? And he's like, don't be surprised. J. Edgar Hoover used to wear dresses. And he goes, just tell me why. And he goes, I don't know. Maybe it made him feel sexy. Not that. It's just the deadpan. Really, it's just really good. All right, let's see. I'm going to go through my list really quick. All right, here's one. This, Sean, I'm surprised you did not want to bring this one. This is more musically based, not so much movie based.
I know which one you're going to go to.
Paul McCartney is actually dead and replaced by a body double. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, he's one of the... one half of the Beatles that are still alive.
Yeah, right. But yeah, there's a long-standing rumor. There's a few celebrities that are reported to have been like...
I've tried to dive into that whole thing, and I don't really understand how it even got started. It got started because someone played the record backwards.
So that's another big one.
You know, and the fact that he was barefoot in the Abbey Road album cover, because, you know, barefoot, he's a corpse. It was like, who came up with this and what were you smoking?
I love it. And can we have some?
That's true.
I don't know.
Legal.
That is legal. But we'll do one more. All right. You ready?
No mas.
Psycho. And this one's actually true. There was an urban legend that Alfred Hitchcock had a toilet specifically built to comply with film censorship, and that is actually true. So he,
because it's the first movie ever where a toilet actually flushes on screen.
It is wild that that movie was famous for that at the time. The blood, not the excessive blood made. Well, and what was the blood? What was the blood?
Chocolate syrup.
Ah.
So they actually, in the documentary, say that the writer goes, "I want to see the toilet flush." And Hitchcock's like, "Well, you got to build it into the script. Don't just flush the toilet for the sake of flushing the toilet. You got to make it like a reason why she flushes the toilet."
So stupid.
So of course he writes that she wrote down the amount of money she stole and how much she spent of it, and then she rips it up and throws it in the toilet. And then they find a little piece of it later on in the movie. But yeah, I mean, it just goes to show where we used to be as a society, that you didn't even see a toilet in a bathroom. That's number one. And number two, you know, you couldn't, God forbid, you flushed it.
Dun, dun, dun.
God forbid, husband and wife slept in the same bed.
Well, there was,
because logistically, how does that work?
I'm more concerned about how people get pregnant. I Love Lucy.
That's what I'm saying.
I Love Lucy was not allowed to say the phrase pregnant.
They were lucky enough that she was able to be on the show pregnant.
Yeah, I forget how they got around it, but they used like a certain phrasing. I think it was like another language they kept saying it in. Which makes sense. But that's my whole list. You got any more?
I do not. There's really nothing more I got on mine. We've done all the really, really good ones.
All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. We had a lot of fun doing that one. So if you guys have your own movie or television conspiracy theory, music conspiracy theory, please let us know down below. Leave a comment. Send it to, we have themisfitfaction@gmail.com. Make sure you can check, send it that way. We'd love to read it. But I think that's actually... just about
good. Fan feedback for it?
I can't log on to Facebook again.
Oh my God.
I don't know what's wrong. You
want me to log in? I've got Facebook
go
right here.
You want to pull it up?
I'll pull it up. Hold on 1 second while I do this. Make sure we're going to the right page. All right.
You got this? All right.
Yeah, I got this. So you posted on the Cinematic Adventures Facebook page. Your birth month is your master. So we have January, Darth Vader. February, Obi-Wan Kenobi. March is General Grievous. April is Qui-Gon. May is Yoda. June is Count Dooku. July, Mace Windu. August is Ahsoka. Did I say that right?
Ahsoka.
September is Palpatine. October is Luke. November is Darth Maul. And December is Rey. Don't have no Kylo Ren on there.
I know, Kylo Ren. I have Darth Sidious. He's mine. And producer Melanie is Darth Maul.
I am Mace Windu. We have a Christopher Lee. Our friend Matt is Christopher Lee as Count Dooku. Ronnie is Mace Windu as well. And my father is Darth Vader.
What?
My father is Darth Vader.
What? No, stop. That actually freaked me out for a second. I was like, no, Sean, no. But if you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. Just go to our Facebook page every Friday.
Paul's already got enough to do.
I'm lucky I remember to do them half the time. Every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll post Fan Feedback Friday. So make sure you guys participate. It's always a good time. And if you guys want more of our content, you can also check us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, everything. Just type in Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff.
But not Stitcher.
Not Stitcher. Stitcher's not around anymore. Apparently Google Podcasts isn't around either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew?
I mean, I got a lot of emails about it, so I knew. But, like, who knew? But that, Sean, I got him at the end.
Don't know why.
But that's going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Peace.